Like I mentioned last Sunday, our Advent focus was on hope. This week is on peace. I just invite you to turn in your Bibles with me, either if you have a Bible with you or maybe your phone or tablet that you can look up these verses. In the Gospel of Luke, which is in the New Testament, if you turn to the New Testament, you have Matthew and then Mark and then Luke. Gospel of Luke, we're going to read together verses 26 through 38, and then jumping ahead a little bit to verses 57 through 79. Just to give you a little bit of background, because if I were to take the time to read all of chapter 1 of Luke, I'm going to take quite a while. There's a lot of verses in the first chapter, but let me just set this up for you in case you don't know what is going on when we start reading verse 26. But right before that, you can read in your Bibles that there was an angel that visited Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. We didn't know that quite at that time, but the angel told Zechariah that he was going to be a father. And so Zechariah received that news. And Elizabeth as well heard about that. Elizabeth and Zechariah were old in age. So this was a miracle in itself that Elizabeth would become pregnant at her age. But that is what happened. That was part of God's plan, that they would have a son, that the son would be named John, that he would become known as John the Baptist, and he would pave the way for the Messiah, for Jesus Christ to come into this world. And John is the one who said the words that I must become less, and he, Jesus, he must become greater. So then we come to verse 26. And again, we see another and read about another angel, Gabriel, that visited a young lady named Mary. And verse 26 says this, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." The Lord is with you. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him that this morning. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Now verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Well, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. And now if you can jump over to verse 67 with me. Verse 67. I know I said, I think I put 57 there. Should be 67. That was my mistake. 67. This is a prayer or a song now that Zechariah sang as he was This verse tells us he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied the song. It came out as a song together after his son was born, and he named him John. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, "Praise be to the God, to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." The path of peace. I know that Zechariah, when he sang this song, as he was prophesying these words together in a song, he is talking about his son, John the Baptist, here. But as I was reading this passage, I was reading Luke chapter 1 this week and preparing for this message, that last, those last four words just popped out of the Bible to me. The path of peace. The path of peace. How do we stay on, or how do we get on, the path of peace? I was given a little book several years ago, actually, from my parents for Christmas. I don't know why they gave me this book. It's entitled The Little Book of Stress. Was there a message there that they were trying to give me? The Little Book of Stress, and it actually underneath that says, How to Achieve That Heart Attack. I don't know. They must have been thinking about something. But and every page just gives a humorous way of looking at stress, and just I think helps to break up that those stressful days a little bit. And once in a while, I'll get out this book and go over some of these and just laugh a little. It helps me deal with stress. Here's I want to read a couple of these to you when it comes to the Little Book of Stress. Panic. Surround your bed with alarm clocks and start the day with a crash, bang, and a wallop. It's a good way to start out with stress, isn't it? Make a hit list. Begin each day by making a list of all the things that you have to do. Resolve not to rest until every task is complete. That's a good way to be stressful, isn't it? Start your week with dread. Wake up every morning with that Monday morning feeling. The thought of a full week ahead will prime your heart for attack. The Little Book of Stress, yes. Let me read a couple other ones to you here. Set high expectations. Strive for perfection in everything you do. Total failure will result from even the smallest imperfection. Those of you that are perfectionists, you're probably going, oh, wait a minute. What are you trying to say? I love this page. There's two words on this page. The Little Book of Stress. Get married. Get married. Oh, the ladies are like, oh, come on. I'll read one more to you. This is another one. Just a few words. The Little Book of Stress. Forget what peace is. Have children. If you need to borrow that book, let me know. I'll gladly let you see that. You can read some more ways of having a great stressful life. But no, I don't think I need to remind us this morning how stressful life can be and maybe is for you, depending on your situation in life. When I think about the last couple of years that we have been on this earth, We've had a couple of years, almost 2 years now, of COVID sickness that many of our families, most of our families, have it has hit, and sometimes, unfortunately, not in a very good way. We have anxiety and depression that are at probably all at all time highs in our world. Too many people are stressed out most of the time. Burnout is way too common. Crime rates keep rising. And just this past week, most of you, if not all of you, already know about a school shooting that happened not too far from us. Four families that are suffering from tremendous loss in the Oxford, Michigan area. As I was watching the news, and Terry and I were watching the news 2 days ago about those events that happened at that school, our hearts just broke for those families, for that school, for those students. So much is happening in our world. How in the world can we live and stay living on a path of peace? A path of peace. I don't have to remind you today of how fast life can change. We don't know what we'll experience each and every day for sure. Sometimes we plan out our whole day and something happens and our plans change. Maybe we think our plans have been ruined. Sometimes we plan out our whole life and then something happens in life changes. At times, it's due to circumstances that are out of our control. At times, it's because of choices that we have made. The path of peace. I believe we all have the choice this morning to either walk down a path of peace or to go down the path of chaos. The Bible doesn't give us very many details about Mary's life, does it? Especially leading up to this visit by Gabriel to Mary. We don't have details about her, but we can imagine together today about Mary. I'm sure Mary was had a lot of plans in her mind. She was getting ready to be married at some point to Joseph. She knew that. But in those days, marriages were planned way in advance. There would be about a year of planning these events leading up to the actual ceremony, the wedding ceremony. So about a year they would know they were going to be getting married. This was an exciting time. I'm sure Mary was just dreaming in her mind about, wow, I'm going to be married to Joseph. Joseph was Joseph is somebody that comes from a line of royalty, a lineage of royalty from King David. I'm sure she was thinking about all these things in her mind, and she would be the wife of somebody famous in some ways, somebody that has come from this great lineage. She probably thought, hopefully God will bless me and my husband with children. Hopefully Joseph and I will be able to raise up our children to fear God and to walk in all his ways. Perhaps Mary was thinking about some of these things when all of a sudden Gabriel appears before her. I don't know exactly how that happened, if she was seeing a vision, if she was having a dream, or the Bible doesn't give us those exact details, but Gabriel appeared to her somehow and started talking to Mary. And then everything changed. Everything changed for Mary and for Joseph. Mary's life would never be the same. It's hard for us to imagine today what Mary was thinking when, first of all, when she sees Gabriel and starts hearing Gabriel talk to her, this angel, and he says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. What was she thinking at that time? The Bible doesn't. The Bible does tell us that she was greatly troubled at first with his words. I mean, wouldn't all of us be troubled with an angel talking to us right there, right in front of us? Perhaps she felt anxious or afraid. We don't know. But she was greatly troubled. At this point, she wasn't experiencing, I don't believe she was experiencing peace. When the Bible says she was greatly troubled, there was something happening that she wasn't experiencing peace. I mean, here's an angel with her. But Gabriel breaks news to her that she is going to have a baby. I mean, talk about something that's going to give you stress in her circumstance. He says, you're going to have a baby, but this is not going to be a natural birth. The baby is going to be the Son of the Most High. So not only are you going to give birth, Mary, but you're not going to have just a normal baby. This is going to be the Son of the Most High. You're going to name him Jesus. So everything. I mean, Mary's got to be thinking, what is happening? What is going on? She was going to become pregnant through a humanly impossible, miraculous way because she was a virgin. Now that's life-changing news, isn't it? Perhaps Mary immediately started to think to herself, what are people going to think? What are people going to think? What is my family going to think? Will Joseph divorce me now? Because back in those days, and in that culture of that day, if a female was caught pregnant and they were saying to everybody that they were a virgin, they were not married, they were going to be stoned to death. The law said that they had to be stoned to death. So Mary, I'm sure, is thinking this right away. Oh my goodness, I could lose my life. And the only way that Joseph could dissolve this marriage was by divorce. Now those of us that have read further on in the story, we know that Joseph was visited by an angel as well. He was given this news and Joseph decides to not divorce Mary. At first, he was going to peacefully, but then God changes his mind, thankfully. How often do we catch ourselves thinking or even saying the words, God, if you could just change the situation. God, if you could just change what is happening in my life, maybe I could just receive some peace. Maybe life would just be a little bit better. Lord, could you just change things? Lord, could you just change somebody's behavior? Lord, could life just be different? Could you change a situation so that life could be more peaceful? Former President Ronald Reagan once said, "Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the ability to handle conflict by peaceful means." There's a lot of wisdom in that statement. Some of you may have heard him say that when he gave that statement. But even in the midst of conflict, even in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of disappointment, when life is being turned upside down, the Bible tells us that it is still possible to experience God's peace in the storms of life. We can experience his peace even when life throws us a curveball. We can experience peace when people don't live the life that we think they should live around us. Maybe they are disruptive to what our plan in life is. We can experience peace even when something happens in life that is a tragedy, and we don't know how we're going to go on. Through Jesus, the Prince of Peace, we can experience true peace as we follow the path of peace. The question is today, how? How can we do that? The Bible makes it very clear that we can walk in the path of peace, but how do we do that? I want to give us three thoughts this morning, and I think these are already filled in for you, aren't they? So don't fall asleep today. Underline them or something. Do something to stay awake. The question is, how can we experience inner peace in all situations in life? Three of these coming out of this passage in Luke chapter 1 today. First of all, trust in the one. Trust in the one who is our peace. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, the first thing that Gabriel told Mary is what I had you tell somebody next to you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. His presence is with you. Trust him. Trust him, the one who is our peace. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. These are the two verses that I read to you the first Sunday that Terry and I were here in this church on a Sunday. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. He will direct your paths. You want to be on the right path today? You want to be on the path of peace? Trust Jesus. Trust him. Don't lean on your understanding. We get ourselves into trouble all the time, don't we? Trust Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Whatever you are facing today, whatever you may face this week, remember Jesus is with you. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he himself is our peace." He is with us. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. We can trust God because he is with us. And if you've committed your life to following Jesus, the Bible says that his Spirit is not only with us, but it is in us. It is in us. If you want to experience true peace, seek the one who is peace. The Lord is with you. Not only is the Lord with you, but the angel also told Mary today, and I believe that this is a promise in the Bible that we can also claim this morning, that we do not have to be afraid. Do not be afraid. Turn your anxiety over to the one who cares. Since he is our Prince of Peace, turn your anxiety over to him. He cares about every situation that you go through in life. He cares about what you're going to face this week. He cares about what you're going to go through in school. He cares about what you will face in work, in your home, in your neighborhood, wherever you go. He cares about those things that you face. Do not be afraid. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Cast it. Throw it out. Lay it before Jesus. Throw it before him. Cast your anxiety on him. Don't carry that burden along with you everywhere you go. Jesus wants you to give it to him. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," Jesus said. Throw your anxiety at the feet of Jesus, and in turn, receive his peace. Receive his peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Trust in God. Turn your anxiety over to him. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Again, cast your concerns and your cares before Him, present those requests to God, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you want to experience God's peace, if you want to stay on the path to peace, you have to be willing to give up control. You got to give it up. God is in charge. So why not give Him all your burdens, all your cares, all your anxiety? Mary had to give up her reputation. It was one thing she had to give up. Elizabeth had to give up her timing. She was an old lady. There was no way that she should have been pregnant at her age. But Elizabeth had to just give up the thoughts of, oh, that's impossible, and just trust God for His timing. Zechariah, he had to give up his voice for a while. Not willingly, I don't think, but you can read in Luke chapter 1 about that, but his voice was taken away from him until his son was born. The path to peace is not always easy, but it is worth it. Amen? It's worth it because we follow the Prince of Peace. Don't hold on to your anxiety. Don't hold on to your fears or your anger or your grudges or the things that you worry about. Lay them before the Prince of Peace. Trust Him. Cast your anxiety on Jesus, the one who cares. Not only does He care about us and our life situation, but He also has no problem taking care of those things. He knows what's best. He knows what we need already, even before we ask. He knows what needs to be done to make sure that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. What are some things that make you anxious? Is it financial problems? Is it emotional problems? Did you receive some bad news recently that has caused you to be anxious? Is there stress at work, at home, school, or work that causes anxiety? Cast your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. Turn it over to the One who cares. Pray. Pray. Ask the Lord for His help. Also, to stay on the path to peace, one other phrase that I saw in this passage that reminded me of how to stay on this path is in verse 37. Gabriel tells Mary, after he tells her and just shares this news that she is going to have a baby, and it's not going to be an ordinary baby, it's going to be the Son of the Most High. I mean, this is incredible news. And then Gabriel, in verse 37, he says this, "Nothing, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God." Think about the One who is all-powerful, who is omnipotent and omniscient. all-knowing. The angel Gabriel thought it was so important to remind or to tell Mary this. And I believe God wants us to remember this morning as well. That God, with him, nothing is impossible. That's an amazing promise. That's an amazing truth today, and we need to think about that. We don't need to just, let's just not brush past that and go to the rest of the story. Let's take time to think about this a minute. That nothing is impossible with God. Why? Because he is all-knowing and all-powerful. Two of God's attributes. We are not all-knowing. We're not all-powerful like God, but he is the only one that is. In Psalm chapter 145, Psalm 145, I invite you to turn with me there because we're going to read these verses together as we end this message today. And I just thought this would be a great time to just think about the greatness of God. This is a psalm that I turn to when I just have some thoughts come to me, or I think, how great is God? You know, and just as I'm spending time worshiping him, I'm reminded many times of this psalm. It's a psalm of David, Psalm 145. And many of these sentences and these phrases in this psalm reflect on how powerful God being all-powerful and God being all-knowing, and that nothing is impossible with him. And David writes this, and he wrote this, "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made, all you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises, and he is loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall, and he lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at their proper time. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Are you thankful this morning that we have one, the Prince of Peace, that we can trust today? We have one that we should always think about and just focus our attention on. And we have one that we can turn all of our anxieties and fears and frustrations to, because he cares for us. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, maybe you have something in your life, something that you just want to give up. Give it up to the Lord today. Just if you want to just raise your hand as we pray in closing, and just with your hand raised towards heaven, kind of as a symbol of casting out our care and our anxiety to God. Just invite you to do that as we pray. Lord Jesus, over this whole place, we lift up our hands to you. We lift our lives up to you today. God, we don't know what our future will hold, but we know who holds the future. Like the hymn says, we know who can hold our hand and guide us in the future. Lord, I believe today that everyone here, I'm sure everyone here wants to live a life of peace. We don't want to live in chaos. We don't want to live in fear, living with anxieties in life overwhelming us. God, we want to live in the pathway of peace. Lord, sometimes that is so hard. That is so hard to do in our world. But God, you know all about that. You sent your Son, Jesus, to come into this world so that you would totally know, and Jesus would know what it's like to live on this earth, so that he would have mercy and grace and the love that we need, that he would pour it out on a cross when he died for us. Lord, because of that, we can experience peace, true peace, because you are the Prince of Peace. So God, as we leave this place, help us not to just forget about this message, forget about your word, forget about you throughout this week, but help us to remember you throughout all that we do, all that we say, all that we are in front of people, in front of our families. May we reflect your light. May we reflect the peace inside of us that you give us in abundant ways. God, thank you for being with us. Thank you for living inside of us. If there's anyone here this morning that has never experienced your true peace, they've never experienced the salvation from you, may this day be their salvation day. May they not wait any longer to say, I want to be a follower of Jesus, and I commit my life right now to serving and following you, my Lord and Savior. As we go now, may we live and may we walk and stay on the path of peace. Thank you, Jesus. We lift this all up to you and cast our burdens and anxiety before you, for you care for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope your hearts are cleared this morning and just ready to go and serve the Lord. Have a great week, everybody. Come back next week as we continue our time of Advent and our Christmas time together. And may the Prince of Peace give you peace throughout this week. Amen. You are dismissed.